Turn back with me to 2 Kings chapter 5 now. This story of Naaman. Verse 1 says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Naaman was the captain of the king's army, the king of Syria. And when I read this first verse, the first thing that stood out to me was how highly the Lord spoke of Naaman. He spoke so highly of him, didn't he? And I thought, our Lord is so good. He's so kind. He's so good to us worms, isn't he? He's so kind to us worms. We all know, because he's the one who said it, that all have sinned. We know that, don't we? There is none good. We know that. Everything that we think is a righteous work is actually a filthy rag in the eyes of our God. It's an awful stench in his nostrils. And we are by nature rotting dead bodies covered with putrefying sores. We know that, don't we? But listen to how our good Lord and Master speaks of the filthy, rotten sinners that belong to him. Just listen to this. Listen to how he speaks of Job. He said, There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job was a sinner. We know Job was a sinner. In verse 8, God said, The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth? None like him in the earth. A perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. Listen to how the Lord spoke of Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Listen to how he speaks of Cornelius. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. Isn't he kind? Isn't he so kind? Our text, verse 1, says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Every wonderful thing, every single wonderful word that can be said about another man is completely nullified by the fact that he's a sinner. Everything that seems to be good about a person He goes to church. That's great. That's great. I would rather my neighbor be a moral person than the opposite of that. He's honest. That's great. That's wonderful. He gives to charity. That's great. I wish I did. I wish I gave more. That's great. He's a good provider for his family. He loves his wife. He loves his children. Family man. Upstanding, moral citizen. That's great. That's great. The problem is, he's a sinner. That's the problem. The fact that Naaman was a leper means he's a dead man walking. That's what Naaman was. He may be all those wonderful things, but he's a leper. He's a rotting man. A rotting man. He's a sinner. And that's the problem that every single man and woman born into this world faces. That's all of our problem. We are all born dead in our trespasses and sins. Turn with me to Psalm 58. Psalm chapter 58. Psalm 58 verse 1 says, "Do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation?" Everybody congregates together and bless you, brother. "Do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart you work wickedness. You weigh the violence of your hands in the earth." You weigh, how much can I get away with and still look good in front of everybody else? "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." If a person speaks lies, that's an evidence that they are the wicked. Guilty. We are all born speaking lies. Well, back in our text, verse 1 says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' This little maid, Syria, the king of Syria, sent Naaman, this captain, out to Israel. And they captured this little maid, this little girl. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And I hope and believe Naaman and his wife were good to her. And Naaman was the head of that house. And she told her mistress, 'Oh, I wish Naaman was in Israel. I know of a man there. I know of a man who is able to heal his disease. I only know of one. There's a prophet in Israel.'" I believe Naaman knew that he was a leper. I believe he could see his spots. But I don't believe that Naaman realized just how serious his problem was. And the reason is because he was not seeking a cure. It's not until it gets serious that we hard-headed men will go to the doctor and seek a cure. Is it? He wasn't seeking a cure. He was off trying to be a great man. He was trying to win battles. He was trying to conquer all. He was trying to take the spoil. He was trying to gather up. And isn't that us? We live our days. Let's wake up and get it. We're going to go get it. This little maid who represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God just planted a seed. Just said something. She was probably doing something, working for her mistress, Naaman's wife, and said, "Oh, I wish my Lord was in Israel. I know a man over there." Just planted a seed. A desire for a cure. Something causes somebody to start desiring a cure. Something happens that makes me say, you know what? I don't know where to go and I don't know what to do, but maybe I need to go to church. That's my first thing I guess I need to do. Something's wrong. This desire to seek a cure didn't begin with Naaman. That desire was put there by somebody else. He was doing his own thing. Somebody else put that desire in him. It's the same desire that the Holy Spirit puts in every sinner when he or she realizes, I have a problem. I'm a sinner and I need a cure. I have spoken lies. A seed is planted that says, maybe you should seek Christ. Maybe you should become a seeker. Well, Naaman now knows that he must seek this prophet who represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows he must come to Christ, but he doesn't know how he must come. He doesn't know. And he comes the wrong way. There's only one way to come to Christ. And Naaman doesn't know what it is. And he comes the wrong way. Look at verse 5. The king of Syria, Naaman's king, said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. First of all, Naaman didn't go to the prophet. The little maid said, I know of a prophet. He didn't go to the prophet. He went to the king. He went to who he thought was the one. He thought, I deserve to go straight to the chief seat. There's somebody higher than that. He's got big robes and he's got a nice big palace. And he thought, I'm going to bring some gifts. With all the gifts that I'm bringing, he's bound to accept me. He's bound to grant me my request. He came, but he came the wrong way. He went to the wrong man, and he brought the wrong things. He brought his letter of recommendation. He brought his work. He brought his resume. Our Lord said in Matthew 7, Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name, we listed them all right here. We've done all these wonderful works. He brought his resume. He brought his money, 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold. He brought his goods, 10 changes of raiment, the fruit of his work. Cain tried that. It didn't work. What he needed to bring was the blood of a lamb. He didn't know. He didn't know that. Well, in verse 7 and 8, this king that Naaman comes to represents a true preacher, a true servant of God. Verse 7 says, "It came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.'" A false prophet, a false preacher, tells people, "Come in here to me. I have just the right Hail Mary to fix your problem. Tell me what it is. I got it for you." A false prophet says, "Come in here to me. I have just the right tongues for you to speak that will fix your problem." A false prophet says, "Come in here to me. I have just the right clothes for you to wear. Just the right way of life for you to live. I have all the do's and all the don'ts, and it'll fix your problem." A false prophet says, "Come in here. I've got the perfect pool of water back here for you to get in. It'll fix your problem." That is not what God's true preacher says. He says, "Don't come to me. Don't come to me. I can't do anything for you. You're going to have to get to Jesus Christ. There's one prophet in Israel, and it's not me. Don't pray to me or Mary or anybody else. You need to pray to God." The true preacher says, "Don't speak any tongues. Let our words be few. We're standing in the presence of a holy God. Let us put our hands over our mouth." The true preacher says, "Naked we came into this world. Naked we're going to leave this world. Your clothes aren't going to do you a bit of good. That bonnet's not going to do you a bit of good. The only covering you need is the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. That's all." The true preacher is going to say, "Don't come near this water until you've come to Him. You must go to Him first before you can come anywhere near this water. This water's not going to do you a bit of good." Well, this king told Naaman, "You've come to the wrong place. There's one prophet that you need to get to." Verse 9 says, "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha." First, he brought the wrong things. And then he went to the wrong place. Now he's at the right place. He's at the right place. But he has the wrong attitude. Verse 10 says, "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth and went away." He got mad and he rejected it. A sinner is only going to hear from God through a messenger. That's it. He's only going to hear from God through a messenger. Naaman's pride said to him, I deserve to see the man myself. He sent a messenger out. He didn't even come out to see him. It was an insult to his pride that Elisha didn't come out. But he had to hear the word through a lowly servant. And that simple servant told him, the first thing you're going to have to do is wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Now let me show you 3 things about the Jordan River. The first one, turn to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. And look at verse 10. It says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. The river of Jordan ran straight through Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what made it so well watered. It's the river of sin. The river of sin. That messenger told Naaman, you're going to have to get in that river. You got to get in that river. The second thing about the Jordan River is in Numbers 32. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Verse 1 says, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. It was a good place for cattle. Good grass, good plain. Verse 5 says, wherefore they said, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Don't bring us over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Verse 10 says, and the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. In verse 19, they said, for we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan, eastward. In order to reach the promised land, you have to cross the river Jordan. It's the river of death. And that messenger said, you must acknowledge that river. The third thing about the River Jordan is back in our text. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings 5, look at verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? The Jordan River was unclean. It was filthy. It was unclean. The rivers of Damascus were fine. And his proud attitude was saying, "That's too dirty for me. I'm cleaner than that river. You want me to get in that? I'm a leper, but there's some good spots on me too. I'm a sinner, but I'm not a total sinner. I'm not perfect. Don't get me wrong. I'm not perfect, but I'm not a total head-to-toe, putrefying sore, covered sinner. There's some good in me. There's a little good in everybody." No, there's not. Not according to Scripture. Not only does Naaman have the wrong attitude, he has all the wrong thoughts. Everything about Naaman is wrong. Wrong thoughts on worship, wrong thoughts on how God operates. Verse 10 represents true worship. Verse 10 says, "Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Verse 11 represents false worship. The operation of a false god. It says, "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." What I thought was I was going to get to walk right up on stage to the guy holding the microphone. And I was going to tell him my problem. And he was going to stand up and make a big commotion unto his God and strike his hand over the place. And I would fall out and be healed of my leprosy. And then he said in verse 12, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. The truth is offensive. It really is. It is offensive. Naaman represents all of us. We're no better than Naaman. We're no different from Naaman. The natural man rejects the truth because it absolutely kills the flesh. It just slaughters the flesh. It kills his works. It kills his way. It kills his methods. It kills his pride. It kills his thoughts. It forces a man and a woman to say, "I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I renounce everything I've believed my whole life. Everything I thought was wrong. Everything I've done is wrong. I'm just wrong." Naaman is not there yet, but he's about to be. Verse 12 says, the end of verse 12 says, "So he turned and went away in a rage." Verse 13 says, "And his servants came near and spake unto him." I believe that these servants represent the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The goodness and the kindness of the Lord's voice. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. I want us to notice how kind the Lord is. Just how kind the Lord is. Isaiah 1, look at verse 18. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. let us reason together. He doesn't have to do that. A child says, why? The parent says, because I said so. I don't owe no explanation. He doesn't have to do that. Our Lord is so kind to sit down and say, let me explain it to you. I'll explain it to you. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Naaman wasn't willing. He rejected it in a rage. He went away in a rage. But God made him willing in the day of his power. God made him willing. If God makes you willing, and if God makes you obedient in spite of you, you're going to eat the good of the land. Our Lord said, my sheep, my rebellious sheep that go astray will hear my voice. I'm going to be the one that speaks to them. My word will pierce their heart, and I will give unto them the gift of repentance. I'm going to do this for them. The actual definition of repentance is a change of mind. A change of mind. A change of mind about God, who God is. A change of mind about His holiness and what He demands and what He requires. A change of mind about me. A change of mind about my sin. I really am that bad. I need some help. Our text, 2 Kings 5, says in verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down. He went down. Come, let us reason together. The word of the Lord pierced his heart, changed his mind, and made him willing. Then he went down. Naaman was storming off. I imagine he just stopped. Changed. It's like a light coming on. A person hears the preaching, hears a man. Here's a mortal man, and all of a sudden, one day, they hear God. A light comes on. He got it. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. In my hand, no price I bring. I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. Doesn't matter what I bring with me. I'm saved by grace. I have one great need, and Jesus Christ is made to be all I need, all I need. I believe Naaman said, where is that river? Where is that river? I've got to get in that river. I must confess what I am before the God that I've offended. I must get in that river. Verse 14 says, then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Seven times the number of perfection, the number of completeness, the number of wholeness. I believe he hollered, "I'm a sinner." And he plunged himself into the river of sin. And then he came back up and he said, "I'm a dead man." And he plunged himself in the river of death. And he came up and said, "I'm a leper. I'm unclean. This is what I deserve. God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. Save me, Lord, lest I perish." Seven times. "Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." He was clean. Naaman didn't deserve it, but the Lord God had great mercy on Naaman. And Naaman had so much to be thankful for. I love this. I love this. He had so much to be thankful for. Naaman ought to be real proud of himself for his humility in getting in that river, shouldn't he? He had so much to be thankful for, and here's why. I will close with Luke chapter 4. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, look with me at verse 27. It says, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." God cleansed one leper. There were lepers everywhere. It wasn't just one leper. There were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. God chose to cleanse one leper. Thank you, Lord. Oh, why me? Why me? Of all the lepers in Israel, you chose me? It's God's grace. It's God's mercy. It's God's choice. It's God's work. Salvation is of the Lord. Thank you. I pray the Lord would bless His word. Let's stand together. Be dismissed.